In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've always found our gospel reading from today to be one of the most interesting and compelling of moments. It is soaked through and through with such realistic touches that we are shown once again that our scripture is not some remote and distant thing, but that it is a story of real people who lived real lives. Jesus returns home with his disciples. He continues what he has been doing, preaching, teaching, and healing. This location is different from where we had previously been brought. This is Jesus' hometown, and the people who live there recognize and know him. Maybe some of you have had this experience. Someone from your past, a family member, a teacher, or a friend, has not seen you for some time. You have grown older. You have started a new job or career. You have changed in some way. And for these people, it is hard for them to see you now as you are, because they can only see who you were. You can't have grown this tall. You used to be only this big. You can't have an important job. I used to be your roommate, and I know how irresponsible you are. This juxtaposition of who you used to be and who you are now can sometimes be too hard for people to accept. So they will treat you like you were younger, or their old friend who used to be a goof, or their student who still has so much to learn. They cannot see the person who is now standing before them, see who you really are. We see this very thing playing out for Jesus upon his arrival home. Soon people start asking questions, and then those questions turn to grumblings, and then they turn to being offended. Hey, don't we know this guy? Didn't he grow up here? I remember seeing him take his first steps as a child. I remember seeing him running up and down the streets with the other teenagers. Wasn't he a carpenter? In fact, didn't he do some work for us? Doesn't his family still live on the other side of town? Who does this guy think he is? Who does he think he is fooling? We know who he really is. Jesus, for his part, seems to be in a bit of stunned disbelief. He cannot believe the lack of faith he is finding in these people who should know him best. He quickly comes to realize that a prophet cannot be a prophet in his hometown. So what is it that is keeping these people separated from Jesus? What is it that is causing them to be so offended and upset by his actions and words? It seems that they already have their own preconceptions about Jesus. All of them already have their own minds made up about who he really is. How can a child from our community grow up to be a wise teacher? How can a lowly carpenter become a skilled healer? How can someone whose family we know all too well be a prophet? All of these preconceptions, all these already made up minds and hardened hearts are keeping them from seeing the man who is standing before them. It is keeping them from hearing what it is he is calling them to. We know what it is they are not seeing, what it is they are not hearing. Jesus sends his disciples out, those who can see him and hear him. He sends them out in his powerful name. He sends them out to heal the sick. He sends them out to testify to God's awesome power and love. He sends them out to call out and confront evil when and where they find it. This new life, this holy work, this is what the people of the town cannot hear, because they cannot see the divine word made flesh before them, but only the man they think they know. Now, it is easy for me to sit in judgment of the people of Nazareth. Easy for me to say how foolish it is that they deny and turn away from Jesus, turn away from God. But I wonder, how often does God stand before me and I do not see? How often does God call to me and I do not hear? What preconceptions and judgments do I carry with me that keep me blind and deaf? When I read and listen to Scripture, Do I fully open my mind to it? Do I fully surrender my heart to it? Do I allow it to teach me deep truths about God, the world, and myself? Or do I decide that it has nothing new to show me, nothing I do not already know, and nothing that is important? When I open my prayer book for daily prayer at home, or when I open it weekly here with you, do I ask it to shape me, to mold me? Do I seek within its words instruction on who God wants me to be, on how God wants me to live my life? Or do I say them out of routine and memory, half distracted, thinking about other things? Do I see it only as an ordinary book and not as the spiritual treasure chest given as a gift by God's holy church? When I approach the altar, do I see bread alone? Do I taste only wine? Or do I walk into the mystery of Jesus' risen and eternal body, a body sacrificed for me, a body broken for me, a body risen up in glory for me, this miracle so that I might be saved? When I come here every week with you all, do I simply see a group of people gathered together? Or do I see a community of saints, a people of faith holding one another up, members of Jesus' living body in the world, continuing his work of taking care of those in need, proclaiming God's love, and calling out and confronting this world's evils? It is easy to bring our preconceptions, our prejudgments, to already make up our minds about what is before us. It is easy to keep God at a distance, never allowing his call to penetrate the soul. People of Nazareth failed to allow themselves to be caught up in wonder, to be caught up in the wonder that is God, a God who came to them in the most familiar of faces, in the most recognizable of voices. And maybe it is easy for us to not get caught up in wonder, to not see and hear God who comes to us in such familiar things, who speaks to us in the written and spoken word, who reveals himself in bread and wine, and who is found in the face of those sitting next to us week in and week out here in this church. What a wonder it is that if we look and listen with faith, we recognize God all around us. Amen.